Well, it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Through the Bible with Joe McGee, where we're going from Genesis to Revelation, one chapter at a time, but we're doing it in chronological order as it happened. And so the Bible's not written in chronological order, but we're going to read it in chronological order. So we've just finished coming out of Exodus. Children of Israel got delivered. They're exiting Egypt. They exit us. Been some great movies made about it, modern movies. The children of Israel coming back into Israel. God promised, I'm taking you out, but one day I'll bring you back. And God said, I'll bring you from the north, the south, the east, and the west. God's gathering his people home to that tiny nation about the size of Rhode Island in the Middle East. So Israel became a nation in 1948. All the scriptures go with that is sort of fascinating because people ask me all the time about end time events and they'll ask you, where are you scared? So no, I'm very honored to be alive in the last days. And people say, what do you think's the last days? Well, God said, you know, the last days were happening when Israel would be brought home. Well, Israel didn't even exist. They got scattered to the four corners of the earth for some 2,000 years. There was no nation of Israel. Jewish people were scattered, abused, beat, sold into slavery, killed. I mean, it was a mess. Because, you know, all the scriptures, when they rejected Jesus, hell came. And so Jerusalem was invaded, Tabernacle was burnt, and they got scattered. But God said, but in the last days, I'll bring them home. I'll bring them from the north, south, east, and west, and I'll bring them back home. And so there is a nation of Israel, again, since 1948. And there is a Jerusalem. And one of our former presidents finally made Jerusalem the capital of Israel, as it always should have been. And so it's a very exciting time, and I'm honored to be alive in these days. So people ask, are you afraid? I said, no, I live in the most exciting time of human history. Now, the Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They'll be heady, high-minded, truce breakers, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, disobedient to parents. Everything you read in your newspaper, everything here in the news, God said was going to happen. But at the same time, when all that mess is going on, God said, but also in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And sons and daughters are going to prophesy, dream dreams, and have visions. I will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. I will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. I live in the greatest time of human history. So no, I'm not worried about anything. Today we're going to start in the book of Leviticus. When I was a school administrator, I took a whole semester and I taught this to my high school kids. Every day. What do you know? Book of Leviticus. I mean, I thought, and of course, if you read anything, oh man, I don't think that's going to be very exciting. No, it really is. You got to get into it. It's a lot of detail in here. And so I had several high school kids. And once we finished it, man, Mr. Gee, that's great. I didn't know that was in there. You always hear that. I didn't know that was in there. You know, it's in Leviticus. So we're going to read today. So we're going to pick up in Leviticus. We're going to start the great book. So I'll just read this to you. Leviticus was delivered by God to Moses on Mount Sinai. Where did Leviticus come from? Moses got it from God. The instructions of Leviticus pertain to Israel's personal and national life. Here's God told Moses, here's how I want my people to live. Here's the rules for living. Here's how they do it. Here's how they prepare the food. Here's what they do when they marry. It's all in there. It's very detailed. And so Leviticus is the nation's new book of worship. It derives its name from the tribe of Levi, whom God entrusted the ceremonies of worship and the physical care of the tabernacle. Leviticus records God's solution for the twin dilemmas of how sinful people can achieve access to him through animal sacrifices and maintain fellowship with him through their obedience to his word. So God said, listen, you may have drifted, you may have wandered off, but I got a way to come back. I got a way you can stay back. So in the beginning, it was animal sacrifice. Well, if you do this, that's going to cost you a bull. If you sin this, that'll cost you a goat. That'll cost you a sheep. That'll cost you a turtle dove. Blood around that tabernacle every day of the week. What's going on? People are sinning. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says the veil in the temple supernaturally was torn top to bottom. What's the veil? Where the Ark of the Covenant was. And the veil was torn top to bottom. And that's as God was saying when Jesus died on the cross, no more bulls, no more goats, no more sheep, no more turtle doves, no more sacrifices. It's not what you do. It's your faith in what my son did. My son came to earth. He died for you, gave his life, and I raised him from the dead. It's my faith in Jesus and what he did, not what I did. And so it's not me. No human can take any kind of credit for anything. How'd you get saved? Jesus came and died for me. God raised from the dead. Romans 10:9-10. If I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for me and God raised from the dead, I will be saved. How'd you get saved? I believe Jesus died for me and God raised from the dead, and that he sits at the right hand of the Father right now. And he's praying for me. What a story. Amazing story. So just give you a little details. Moses is the author. Who wrote the book? Well, Moses. How'd he get it? Well, he got it from angels. Written around 1445 BC, long time ago. God was moving. God's always been moving. The purpose was to outline the Levites' duties in worship and to teach the Israelites how to live a holy life. You can live a holy life. Oh, yeah. God said, I'm going to teach you how you live a holy life, man. It's going to be incredible. So here it is. Leviticus opens with a description of the five different sacrifices the Israelites could offer. Three of those in fellowship with God, worship offerings. Two of those out of fellowship with God, compulsory offerings. The three worship offerings were tailored to the person's ability to give, and each had a specific, special significance. The burnt offering signified the devotion of the worshiper to God. The grain offering pointed to God's provision in life. The peace offering offered a picture thankful worshipers' fellowship with God. So we got a burnt offering, grain offering, peace offering, worship offerings. So God's going to show you, here's how you get to me. Here's how you approach me. Here's how you come close to me. God said, you know, I'm going to show you how to do it. It's going to be real simple. If you follow it, it'll go really good. If you don't follow it, it's going to go really bad. He lined that out in Deuteronomy 25, 26, 27, 28. It's real detail. I'll give you this. Chapter 1. This is how we're going to get into. Now, listen. Please understand. This is probably the most fascinating book as to why things are. Because why would God do that? Well, he tells why. Very detailed. He tells why he did it. So, chapter 1, verse 1 of Leviticus. The Lord called to Moses from the tabernacle and said to him, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you present an animal as an offering to the Lord, you may take it from your herd of cattle or from your flock of sheep and goats. We're going to get the sacrifice. You're going to provide it. It's going to be one of yours. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you to approach God. You got to get this now. He said, verse 3, if the animal you present as a burnt offering is from a herd, it must be a male with no defects. Don't bring a three-legged goat in here. I won't accept that. God said, this is going to cost you. We'll show what this is. Bring it to the entrance of the tabernacle so you may be accepted by the Lord. Lay your hand on the animal's head, and the Lord will accept its death in your place to purify you, making you right with him. In other words, you brought your goat, you're going to bring the sacrifice, the sheep. Before it gets sacrificed, it says, you put your hand on his head. What are you going to do? This is me. This sheep here, this is me. I'm going to put my hands on his head, anoint it. I do this, it's going to take my place. And God's symbolically trying to tell them what his son's going to do. My son never sinned. Jesus came to earth, he never sinned. But they beat him and they crucified him and they hung him on a cross. What did he do wrong? According to the law, nothing. He took my place. I was born in sin because of my mom, my dad, my dad's dad, my dad's dad. From the time of Adam, every person born after Adam, sin nature. Lay your hand on the animal's head and the Lord will accept its death in your place. Then slaughter the young bull in the Lord's presence. Aaron says the priest will present the animal's blood by splattering it against all sides of the altar. that stands to the entrance of the tabernacle. The skin of the animal, cut into pieces. The sons of Aaron will build a wood fire on the altar. They will arrange the pieces in the offering, including the head and the fat, on the wood burnt offerings of the altar. But the internal organs and the legs must first be washed with water. Then the priest will burn the entire sacrifice on the altar as a burnt offering. It is a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. You got to try to imagine a lot of technical stuff here about the tabernacle. But if you were miles away from the tabernacle, it would smell like a steakhouse in the summer. Man, what's cooking? What's that great smell? Well, that's the tabernacle. They're sacrificing a lot of beef and lamb on an altar, and it would smell. And the Bible says even the aroma pleased God. God likes the smell of steak, I guess you could say it in a very carnal way. So, if the animal you present as a burnt offering is from a flock, it may be either a sheep or a goat, but it must be a male with no defects. Slaughter the animal on the north side of the altar in the Lord's presence, and Aaron's sons and priests will splatter its blood against the sides of the altar. Then cut the animal in pieces, and the priest will arrange the pieces as an offering, including the head and the fat and the wood burning of the altar. But the internal organs and legs must be washed with water. Then the priest will burn the entire sacrifice on the altar as a burnt offering. It is a special gift, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. If you present a bird as a burnt offering to the Lord, choose either a turtle dove or a young pigeon. The priest will take the bird to the altar, wring its neck, burn it on the altar. But first, he must drain the blood against the side of the altar, splatter against the side of the altar. The priest must also remove the crop and the feathers and throw them in the ashes on the east side of the altar. Then he grasps the bird by its wings. The priest will tear the bird open, but without tearing it apart. Then he will burn it as a burnt offering on the wood burning of the altar as a special gift, pleasing aroma, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. So what you have to understand, what all's happening here, it's nasty. It's a nasty job. The priests were dressed up in very expensive clothing, very fancy clothing, from the turbans to the gown that they wore, all the sacrifices, the jewels, things on their chest. They were dressed up. But when they went home at night, they were dirty. Man, blood had splattered everywhere. It was meant to be a very visual scene. It was meant to be a scene that would impact you visually, your hearing, your smell. God said, we're going to make a memory today. What? By bringing an offering. And how are you going to do this? Well, you're going to bring it in here. You're going to lay hands on his head. The priest is going to take it. And based on what kind of animal it is, it's about to get messy. What do you do with the internal organs? What you do with the feathers? What you do with the head? What you do with the tail? There was a place for every part of that animal. There was a thing to be done with every part of that animal. Now, when I grew up in the country years ago in East Tennessee, my grandfather, he had a son that ran the farm for him, 400-acre farm. He had a slaughterhouse. And so I don't know if you've ever been in a slaughterhouse. I remember I had a couple of beefs that I've raised, and when it came time, I take them to the slaughterhouse. What are they going to do there? Well, somebody's going to shoot it and skin it. So I remember wanting to see my piece of beef I'd had there. We'd been feeding and very thankful for. Just trying to feed a big family as cheap as I could. And so when I went in, I saw that that piece of beef had been skinned. The legs were gone. The head was gone. And it's just sitting there on the floor of that slaughterhouse about to be dissected, basically. And then they'll ask you, well, how much steak do you want? How much, you know, beef this and this? And how many, and so the different parts of the beef. And if you've seen it, if you've seen charts of it, and you get to select, you want more steaks, you want more ribs, what do you want? So you get to choose. And so many a time I remember we'd put that thing, get it butchered, bring it home, put it in, had a big old freezer, put that meat in the freezer. We live off of it for a year. And so as was many a time you go to the freezer, you put that meat out and you realize, I think that's been here for a while, and it's not very fresh. And so, but it's how you live. And so the people of Israel, God made it very visual as what your sin's costing you. Your sin is expensive. It has death attached to it. It's killing you. Slowly or quickly, sin kills. And so God's trying to make a visual impression. Listen, guys, this isn't just do what's right and you need to act right and treat your neighbor right. It's a sin. It has death attached to it. Do what's right because it's right to do what's right. Don't do what's wrong. And so that's why all the details in there, God was very visual. The more they understood, they understood. We'll pick up here next time. Thanks for listening, guys. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in.
Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God could do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.